Fasten your seatbelts for this first joke from Trevor Noah. For decades, owning a home has been one of the core parts of the American dream, just below dating Pete Davidson. But right now, actually buying a home has been harder than Matt Gaetz watching the new Saved by the Bell. Why do millennials love crappy old houses that nobody else wants? Because it's their only option. It's like me asking in grade school, Trevor, why do you love sitting by yourself at lunchtime? So that's where we are right now. Thanks to boomers and Wall Street, owning a home may soon no longer be the American dream. The good news is, if you wait around long enough, you still might get a chance to date Pete Davidson. Ricky Gervais spoke to the AARP. Ricky said, I'm so grateful for technology, especially during COVID. The first pandemic, meaning the Black Plague, must have been terrible without Zoom. They would just throw you out of a window and into a barrel. Life's as good as it's ever been on the planet. When I was on tour once, I stayed in a castle and slept in the bedroom where Henry VIII had slept. I was in awe, but I couldn't get onto the internet because the walls were so thick. I started complaining. In a castle. It was crazy. I just had to stop and laugh at myself. We are the most spoiled people in history. He spoke about his faith. I haven't said there isn't a God. I said I don't believe in your God or any God. Technically, I'm an agnostic atheist because one deals with knowledge and one deals with belief. I choose not to believe because I'm conditioned to have a science-based outlook. I want evidence before I believe in something. But if I show up at the pearly gates, I'd like to think they'd say, you're wrong. I'd go, yeah, I'm embarrassed. And they'd say, don't be embarrassed. You've been good. And would rather have a good atheist than a bad Christian, so in you come. Talking about comedy, he said, in good faith, you have to try to not hurt someone's feelings with your comedy, but every joke reminds someone of something bad, and someone will get upset. I did a joke on Twitter that sums it up. Why did the chicken cross the road? Answer, F you, my chicken was run over yesterday. What can you do? You can't help that your joke reminds somebody of something bad. I can't say, does anyone know anyone who's got MS? Damn it, okay, I won't do that one. Does anybody ever get sunburn? Okay, I won't do that one. Imagine that. I hate it when I hear a left-wing comedian or right-wing comedian. I think we shouldn't know what wing a comedian is. We shouldn't be able to tell from the jokes. People think a joke is a window to the comedian's true soul. I pretend to be right-wing, left-wing, no wing if it makes the jokes better. I'll change a joke. I'll go the opposite way and play the wrong side of the coin arrogantly, and people get it. What's funny about a comedian coming out and telling you exactly what he believes? Where's the joke? Matthew Broussard talked to the RVA magazine. They looked at his bio, which says failed financial analyst turned comedian. Broussard corrected them and said disgraced. That's right. Disgraced financial analyst. Matthew Broussard said, yeah, I got fired. I was just very bad at my job. I had no focus. I don't know if I could have ever survived in a real workplace. I'm terrible. I have no organization or nothing. He's going to be in Richmond for New Year's Eve. He spoke about his worst New Year's Eve show ever. Ugh, worst show I ever did was a New Year's Eve show at a Hilton in Little Rock, Arkansas. They brought me on and we were doing this expensive party and it ran from 9 till midnight. They're going to bring me up at 9 o'clock for 20 minutes and then they're going to bring me up again at 11 for 20 minutes and there's a band and an auction and a DJ. I don't know if you've ever been to a bar mitzvah or maybe like a wedding after party. There was a big dance floor and then a buffet all around the dance floor. No seats. The band goes up and they just killed a local country band. Everybody's so excited for me. I go up. The dance floor is empty and there's just people swarming the buffets. I think four polite souls walk up to the stage and I have to somehow calm down this lovely party with my okay jokes to get their attention. I don't. I bomb and I walk off stage and no one wants to look at me. All these people that were so excited just don't want to make eye contact. The guy running the show comes up to me and says, after all that, I have to go up again at 11 when they're drunker and rowdier. And he goes, you know what? I think you're good for the night. We don't need you again. Great job. Here's your check. I couldn't stay at the party because I pushed everybody away like a skunk. The stink of failure on me. So I just went up to my hotel room and held that check in my hand. I resented the check and I was like, I don't deserve this. And I think I just went out and walked along the river and caught Pokemon on Pokemon Go. There was a Bulbasaur hotspot. I got a lot of Bulbasaur back when that was a hard Pokemon to get. New topic, how important is the internet presence for comedians now, Matthew Broussard? He said, it's my day job. I went from thinking, I can't wait to be a comedian. We don't have a day job, and now my day job is to post stuff. Jokes, videos, edit content, always have stories, promote my shows with funny content. It's our 9-to-5, it's everything. I know some great comedians who are horrible online. They can barely make a living, if at all. And I know some very mediocre comedians who just understand algorithms. Amen on that. We've been picking away at Vulture's comedians you should know. One of them, James Austin Johnson. You know him now because you watch Saturday Night Live and you love his impressions. James Austin Johnson, describe your comedy in 5 words. Adult Swim Andy Griffith baked. What are you best known for? What are you most proud of? He said, I think people freak out the most about my Trump videos where I'm just walking around Glendale babbling as Trump. So the voices and impressions thing is really what I think brings a lot of boys to the yard, so to speak. The things I'm most proud of are getting to work with the Coen brothers and getting on SNL. But when I ask my wife what I bring up the most as a proud moment, she says it's when I was Ed Begley Jr. on the Josh Hutcherson show Future Man. Time out. Hey, Josh Hutcherson show. You need another name, man. It took me 8 takes to get that as poorly as I read it. Josh Hutcherson show. That's really hard, bro. Time in. That was the first comedy acting gig I had where I let loose and goofed around, did the job, brought a little of myself to it. Felt really cool on that set, like was actually learning how to do the job and not blowing it. Some of his favorite comedians right now, Sarah Squirm, Connor O'Malley is amazing, Joe Quesada's sketches, Danny Palumbo's cooking videos, but hard to think of anybody funnier in LA than Jamel Johnson, an effortless crusher and super charming and weird. Best comedy advice, have fun up there. It took me years to realize what it means. Now I kind of do. It really helps. Worst comedy advice, when my papa told me to avoid the theater crowd and be a history teacher, would not have been the best thing for my comedy. If he had the power to remove anything from the comedy world right now, it would be deepfakes. Really struggling to think of something that was improved by deepfaking. It's unsettling and distracting. Like, why would you deepfake Bruce Willis's face onto Monica from Friends? And then after you did that pointless thing, why would you post it? Why did you even post? What did you accomplish? You just posted a nothing. Anytime I'm watching one of those things, I'm just like, why do this? All right. I'm sure by now you have voted in the Worldwide Comedy Awards. Have you not? You're going to go to worldwidecomedyawards.com/vote. Oh, yes, you are. I'm like Santa Claus when it comes to comedy awards. I'm watching you, and I know if you voted or not. Voting is open now until New Year's Eve at 11:59 Pacific. worldwidecomedyawards.com/vote. Johnny Mac, why are you pushing this so hard? Well, I too have an ego, my friend. Let's take a look at all the awards. Let's start with Best Podcast. The nominees are Who Cares? Daily Comedy News Podcast is one of the nominees. Does it even matter what the others are? It does not. Vote for Daily Comedy News Podcast. All right. Best Stand-Up. Nominees. Asia Chardonnay, Darius Davies Shojay, Rachel Morton Young, Robin Perkins, or Mudit Verma. I don't know them. Best Improv Troupe. Comedy Sports. Doom and Bloom, Fantastic Voyage Improv, Histronics, Monkey Toast. I'm going to vote for Monkey Toast just because of the name. Best Sketch Troupe, Bad Medicine, Foil Arms and Hog, Grown Ass Women, New Kids on Your Mom, and Yaz Queen. I'm voting for New Kids on Your Mom just because it's funny. Best TV Program, Auntie Donna's Big Ol' House of Fun. I'm voting for that. I love that. Iggy and Ace, Is This Thing On, Starstruck, Waiting in Line. Best Animated TV Program, The Simpsons, Rick and Morty, Central Park, Archer, and say it with me, Bob's Burgers. 2 questions. 1, have you ever seen Bob's Burgers? You haven't. 2, have you ever met anyone who's seen Bob's Burgers? You haven't. So let's all vote for it. That way I get more material for the show. All right, you're going to worldwidecomedyawards.com. You're voting for Bob's Burgers and Daily Comedy News for the laughs. And Terabang did a good job with 10 Canadians who killed in comedy in 2021. I like keeping an eye on the Canadian comedy scene. It is not my wheelhouse because I don't live in Canada and there's a pandemic. They won't let me in. And Terabang says, Keith Pedro's album Trilipino. It's the type of album that jumps out from your car stereo and made you long for a dimly lit club show that at too many times this year felt like a distant memory. Steph Tolev, the only person on the list I am familiar with. Her TikTok is a hilarious range of characters that have no time for being delicate or humble, yet she's a standout through and through, appearing on Bill Burr's The Ringers. Tamara Shavon for Purse Wine. Purse Wine is a timestamp collection of material paying tribute to her former self, her vices, and the places it took them. This album should not be streamed a track at a time. You want to hear it in its entirety. It's a performance that's been polished to a point where Siobhan is both in total control but entirely in the moment. Cowbell Comedy. Braden Lynch finally got his illegal park show right this summer with the creation of Cowbell Comedy. Held at Toronto Music Gardens, it boasted large crowds and hot lineups all summer. Matt Wright. Here live, not a cat. Matt Wright is a comedian who's the next generation in the comedic legacy of Canada's East Coast. The album is an impressive contemporary solid hour of material that calls out all facets of pandemic living and lack thereof for having the audacity to ruin the time. COVID jokes are a harder sell than regular jokes as they require people to laugh about pain they are not entirely over. This is the thing, Fibe TV, the Interrobang writes, just like Staten Island is not New York City, Hamilton is not Toronto, and don't get it twisted. The series follows Mike Mitchell and Tim Ford as they work at the mall by day and the comedy rooms by night. It's whip smart and weaves in a generous amount of cameo highlights, including Comedy Records president Barry Taylor appearing as himself. Wow, how'd you get him? Keisha Brownie's album is Ingredients of a Brownie. A Jamaican French Canadian, she cut her teeth on Toronto's legendary Nubian show. That show gave many their start, including a young Russell Peters. Danny Martinello won the Seattle Comedy Contest. Seattle is not in Canada, guys. But he's from Alberta, yelling and stomping, firing so many jokes he was the embodiment of if you're not first, you're last. Hisham Kaladi's album is called Tiger King, Tiger spelled T-I-G-R-E. The humor and the intense African pride. If his mother's reading this, I am 100% giving your son a sparkling review. I know you do not abide any nonsense from Western hipsters who think they know anything. And I told you how much I like Being the Ricardos. You heard yesterday's revised Top Funniest Things of 2021. Town and Country wrote how Lucille Ball went from B-movie queen to comedy superstar. After her film career stalled, Lucy found success with the radio series My Favorite Husband. When it premiered as a weekly show in 1948, the series starred Lucy and Richard Dennings as a well-off society couple. 10 episodes into the first season, the writing team was replaced by Jess Oppenheimer, Bob Carroll Jr., and Madeline Pugh. And we've come to know them from the Being the Ricardos movie now. They promptly rewrote the characters to be a comfortably middle-class couple who, as the tagline went, live together and like it. So then CBS was like, let's make this a TV show. Lucy said, sure, except my husband's going to be played by Desi. CBS was like, no one will believe that you're married to a Cuban band leader. So they said they would tour the country together that summer and prove how willing American audiences were to see them as a couple. For the tour, Lucy rehearsed for hours with Buster Keaton and Pepito Perez, who was known as Pepito the Clown. Together, they concocted an act for Lucy, largely based on Pepito's own, involving a tramp costume and a giant cello. The tour was a smash. And when CBS finally allowed Ball and Ornez to film a pilot, they recreated the sketch sequence, eventually found its way into the first season as part of episode 6, The Audition. And from the Milwaukee Record, they caught up with Tom Clark. They were like, hey, Tom Clark, I heard you talk about once about being heckled by Mitch Hedberg when you were performing at Comedy Cafe. What's it like to have such an odd and awesome connection to one of the best comedians of all time? Tom Clark said he was such a wonderful person and obviously a great comedian. I featured the whole week with him at the Comedy Cafe in Milwaukee back in 2002. He's one of the nicest people, and I had a pretty weird style, which he liked. A couple years later, I was a new face in Montreal for Just for Laughs and had a bad set. He was also there, invited me to hang out at a show. I think he knew my show didn't go well. He was so supportive and meant a lot to me. Milwaukee Record said, finally, I believe you have the distinction of being the first comedian or one of the first comedians to perform at the FireServe Forum when you opened for Jim Gaffigan. Tom Clark said, I think Kevin Hart has that honor. Jim said Kevin had reached out and asked if it'd be okay if he went there first, but yeah, it was amazing. Now that the Bucks have won the NBA championship, I'm worried that my achievement will be overshadowed. That is your comedy news for today. WorldwideComedyAwards.com. Vote, man. Follow the show on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, all that. See you tomorrow.